the sun. Yeah, just keep playing it soft. I'm not going to take too long here, but aren't you happy to be a Christian? Amen. Don't you appreciate the Lord Jesus? Amen. He's been so good and faithful to us. And I'm happy to have Brother Josiah for the service this afternoon. Can't say morning around here. It's afternoon already. So praise the Lord. It's good to have him. Anybody got a hungry soul? How many believes God's going to fill you today? Because he promised to. Amen. Get past even the veil of this place and minister and say, Lord Jesus, you promised it to me. Feed my soul from heaven, the things I have need of. I believe Brother decided to be a man of God, a sincere man of God. And I believe you pull in the gift of God, you'll receive from God. So, amen. We'll be gone here this next week. I'll be missing y'all. Keep us in prayer. And if anything needs to change, we'll let you know. So, God have his way. I love how, no matter how much it looks like, the boat's rocking and rolling and going to tip over. Aren't you glad that he's always in control? Amen. That he just speaks and you say, oh, that's what it was all about. Glory to God. All right. Amen. I mean, he's glad of that. Looks like your boat was about to crash and out of somewhere, out of someone. The ship got righted again and still sailing to glory. So hallelujah. We'll sing that one more time. I'll invite Brother Josiah out here. Let's pull on God with all of our hearts today. So go back.
It's by faith.
Yes, Lord, we believe you.
That I believe.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's by faith that I receive.
Sing it now.
It's by faith.
I believe it's by faith that we came out here to church this morning.
Yes, sir.
It's by faith that we got up out of our comfortable beds and out of our comfortable Sunday mornings and said, I'm going to go down to church because I believe by faith God's going to bless me.
Amen.
It's by faith that the minister comes here, and it's by faith the song leader comes and prepares the songs. And it's by faith that I get behind the pulpit this morning, not believing in my own power, but believing in his grace.
Amen.
Is that what you're believing in this morning?
Amen.
And I believe we're about to have a church, don't you?
Amen.
Well, let's change the order of the service with an invitation to the Lord to come and speak to us. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, so humbled, Lord, at what you've done in our lives, Father. Lord, if there would be any proud spirit here this morning, I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit would come and humble us, Lord. Lord, let us be so filled with your love this morning till there's no room for pride, or, Lord, no room for self-vanity, Lord. No room for, Lord, not even room for doubt, dear Lord, because perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that brought a worrying heart this morning, worrying for a loved one or worrying for themselves and worrying for their bodies and their jobs and their finances and everything else, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would flood this place this morning. Cast out all worry and all fear, Lord, as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And Lord, it's this word that's told us about what we can have faith in, Lord. Is this word we can stand on this morning. But Lord, as we open the book, Lord, we still need your Spirit to come and open it to us, Lord. Some points in this Bible are so simple, Lord, that a child could read it and understand. But Lord, to breathe life from the Scripture into our hearts, Lord, and to bring it from the pages to the tablets of our hearts, we need you for that, Lord. I pray that you'd come and speak to each one just exactly where they're living at this morning. Grant it now, we pray, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that he's here this morning?
Amen.
I sure am. You know, as you turn your scripture, we're going to open up with Ephesians 4, 29 and 32. And you can also turn over to Philippians 4. You want to hold on to your Bibles today. We're going to be referring to it a lot. Always when I come out here in these different places with different congregations and different pulpits, and you know, as an evangelist, you don't always have the pulse of the people. You sometimes it's a little bit more comfortable to be a pastor. In other ways, it's less comfortable, I think. But you don't know who the people are, and although we do know each other, it's been a while, and we don't know where your lives are at now, and you don't feel as a man that you're able to minister.
Sure.
But as the Lord, you know that you've got some greater power behind you.
Amen.
And when we're pulling principles out of this Bible, we know that it's applicable to our lives.
Amen.
I just appreciate the promise this morning that he says that I am both your forward and your rearward. I go before you and I follow up behind you.
Yes, Lord.
That means he's got the battle line in front of you and he's got your back behind you too.
Yes, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Let's just turn the word now. Say amen if you've got it. Ephesians 4:29. It says here, Paul speaking to the Ephesians, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers."
Yes,
my. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption." And we often take that as a separate scripture verse, but actually he's referring to it in the context of let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths.
Right.
That there's a way that we can speak that ministers grace, and there's a way that we can speak that ministers a disgrace to our brother or our sister. And inside the context of this, he's saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In other words, what we say has a great impact on the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes,
and he says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness," oh my,
yes, Lord,
"and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted." Oh, now we get in the heart of the issue.
Yes, Lord.
Not just on what's on the externals, but he says, on the inside, in your heart, be tender-hearted one to the other, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Amen.
And Ephesians 4, verse 8, I'm sorry, Philippians 4, verse 8, say amen when you've got it. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, speak on these things." No. It says, "Think on these things."
Sure.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word as you're seated. In Ephesians, we talked about the type of speaking that we ought to have. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and let all bitterness and wrath and malice be placed away from among you. And so many times as Christians, we'll read a scripture verse like that and say, "All right, well, that's what the Bible says. Bless God, I'm going to do just exactly that."
Sure.
And we'll make a law to ourselves, and we're very good at it. Some, with enough discipline and with enough control over our outward externals, we can put a gate over our mouth and we can say, "I'm not going to say those things about my brother." Some of us are better about it than others, but we're not going to say those things about the brother, and we're not going to say those things about the boss, and all this over here. But that's a law. And what Paul gets into with the Philippians is he says, no, 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 it's not just about what you speak. It's about what you're thinking on.
Right.
And I'm so glad that we've got a God that's concerned about our private lives.
Amen.
You know, everybody here, we're all dressed very nicely today and we look very pretty and very handsome, and we got all dressed up for church and slicked our hair back. But there's a way that you look in the morning that nobody else here sees.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a way that you act when you go home that nobody else sees.
Yes.
And so your family sees that, and they know who you are, and sometimes perhaps what you are at church may or may not always reflect what you're at home. But there's an even more private life than our home life.
Right.
And that is our thought life.
Right.
And I would say that that is the most private life that any individual has.
Yes.
Is the private life of our own thoughts.
Yes. Sure.
And what we allow ourselves to think about. And some of us are very open with our thought lives, and we'll just like a bubbling brook. Everything that we think about, it just comes out the mouth, and they say, well, they're an open book.
Sure.
But we find out that even sometimes people that are a bubbling brook, they're hiding things underneath.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes the people that talk the most are talking because they want to keep things at a surface level. And if they don't control the conversation, if they don't control the environment, then someone else might take control and go with the conversation a way that they don't want to go. And then we find there's the man or sometimes the woman that's just that stout figure that doesn't really open up at all. And they've got a stiff upper lip, and it just seems like they're either just so silent, you assume they're deep, but you really don't know what's going on the inside.
Sure.
But regardless of what type of person you are this morning, we've all got a thought life. Some wives may not believe that because every time they ask their husband, what are you thinking about? He says, nothing. And you know, that is true sometimes. We sometimes really are thinking about nothing. Women have doubted that capability down through the ages, but men really do have the ability to think about nothing, but not all the time. And so we all have something that we allow to cover our thoughts and allow our thoughts to go into. And some of us are more closed than I think that we ought to be. And some of us men are the worst about women than this, but whether you're a man or a woman, you can still make the mistake of being too closed up on the inside until you become like a room that's been shut up with all the blinds closed and the curtains and shutters all shut off. And you walk in that room after a few years and it's got this musty smell about it because no fresh air has been allowed to come in. No fresh thoughts have been allowed to come in. No fresh ideas have been allowed to come in. And some people make the mistake of closing off their thought life because they don't want anyone to challenge their ideas. They don't want anyone to challenge what they're thinking about. They say, I've thought this out, and these are my thoughts, and this is the way I think about the world, this is the way I see the world, and I don't want anyone else to challenge that. And so we're not willing to allow ourselves to be opened up for criticism because we think that it doesn't need to be challenged. But what you're doing is you're just creating yourself to be that same old musty room all over again.
Right.
Or perhaps it's because you've got a different reason and someone's hurt you a long time ago. And because of what someone did to you along the way, you don't want to allow people to see what's on the inside any longer. So we're getting to the heart of things this morning, friends. But that's not the way that God is towards His people. See, God wants to engage His people like a husband engages a bride.
Right.
Like, I remember when shortly after I got married to my wife on our honeymoon, all of a sudden I saw my heart just open up in ways I never knew were possible. And started talking about things I hadn't talked about in years with anybody. Because it's natural for a husband and a wife to open their hearts up to one another. And I'm so glad today that we're serving a God that's fully opened up His heart to us. And if there was any question about what resides in God's heart for you, it's been completely opened up through the revelation of the seven seals and through a Malachi 4:5 ministry that's restored us back to the faith of the fathers. That we can look at this Bible with true eyes that are now uncovered and say, I understand God's thoughts for me. I can look there and see that when I read these scriptures, my name's there. His thoughts are for me. And He's been thinking about me all along.
Amen.
So God leads the way because He is the husband.
Right.
And He's led the way to open up our thoughts to Him.
Right.
And sometimes I think we're even afraid to open up our thoughts to the Lord and to really get down and have a real prayer session with the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I'm going through. And Lord, these are my troubles. And Lord, these are my trials. And this person did that to me. And Lord, while we're on it, I'm having some frustrations in our personal relationship. Some people get so afraid of God that they're not even willing to tell God what they're going through. And I want to tell you this morning that it's not a sin when you get frustrated with the Lord. Because this is a relationship. And what God wants from you is a reality. He wants a real relationship. He doesn't want something that's put on. He doesn't want no makeup in our relationship with Him. He wants a real relationship. He wants a heart that's after His heart. He commended David for being that way. He said, David's a man after my own heart. But then when you go back and read the Psalms, read them sometime when you go home, you'll find that David wasn't always happy with God. Sometimes David was disappointed and frustrated, and he didn't understand what was going on.
Amen.
He said, oh God, hear my cry. Lord, you do not be silent, oh God. Don't turn your ear from me. Because that's what he was feeling on the inside. And he was open-hearted with God. When was the last time that you had an open-hearted conversation with your Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you claim is your Lord, and said, Lord, I don't know why this happened to me and that happened to me and this happened, but I'm so frustrated, I'm so angry, and I'm so mad. When was the last time that you just let it out with the Lord? Because He doesn't want you to bottle that up. He says, I am the balm of Gilead. I am the one that took stripes on my back to heal you. I came for the purpose of healing the brokenhearted one. And how can a doctor minister to you until you pull up your clothing and allow him to minister to you? There takes a certain openness about that. When I go into the doctor's office and he says, pull off your shirt, I can't tell him, well, you know what, I just don't pull off my shirt for anybody. I have to recognize that he's got a certain position and I have to allow him to minister to me. Yes. And that's the same thing it is with Dr. Jesus. Is there's certain times where I just have to let reality be reality and say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. And watch God move on the scene. Watch God and how much he really cares for me. You say, well, he doesn't care for me at all. When was the last time you let him care for you and just let him say, Lord, like with your mother, how many have ever experienced a mother's love, but how can you experience it until you sit down with mom and say, Mom, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what the kids at school did to me. This is what the bullies did and all this. And then watch mom cry over you for a little while. Feel that real motherly love sweep over. Oh my, I think that's what we have to do with the Lord sometimes, is just be real open-hearted with the Lord. I think that's the way us husbands and us wives ought to be with our spouses too. If He's leading the way for us to be that way between the spiritual bridegroom and the bride, that's the way we have to be with one another. To be open-hearted, tender-hearted with one another. James says, confessing your faults one for another, praying one for the other. How can you pray for your brother or sister when you don't even know what's going on for them? You got to confess first. Confess my faults. Confess my trials and my troubles. And if you can't do that with your spouse, how are you going to do that with anybody else? Well, there's this brother's prayer meeting I go to over here, and brother, you're out of place. That's not what God gave. That's all right. That should be there. But the first place that God gave is between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, a helpmeet to the man. And if you don't have that relationship, something's out of balance.
Amen.
It's time to come back into relationship with your spouse.
Amen.
And you know, you say, well, I just don't have that relationship with my spouse. I believe that if you commit it to the Lord, He'll either go to working on that, or if your spouse is completely reluctant and will not allow God to work on it, He'll give you another pathway. But don't you be the one to give up on it.
Amen.
And so there's different reasons why we close ourselves off. We close ourselves off because we're hurt, and there's past hurts that we're not willing to allow to be opened up. Or we might close ourselves off to because of complexes. And well, I have superiority complex. Everybody thinks about inferiority, but what about this, the superiority complex?
Now, nobody wants to tackle the superiority complex. Well, my thoughts are so complete, you know. I really thought this out. That brother couldn't add anything to what I've got to think.
That's it, brother.
I don't even need to fellowship with this brother on this revelation.
Go ahead. Come on, that's it.
And you don't even know that brother might have a deeper revelation in that area than you do.
That's right.
Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes we're just afraid of iron touching iron because it's too uncomfortable. Yes, it is. But thank God for the iron. Amen. The iron of His Word to sharpen us. And where is His Word deposited? In the hearts of each believer. So if you really want some iron to sharpen, it's not just about reading your Bible. It's about coming into fellowship with your brother and your sister where that Bible's been deposited.
Amen.
And then there's that old inferiority complex, and I just don't have anything to think about. And, well, nobody wants to hear what I've got to say. I'm just young or inexperienced, a young Christian maybe. But God's placed this in the body for you to grow.
Yes.
And if you allow yourself to be opened up, and allow that room to be opened up, you'll find that it's come and it's placed into use.
Yes.
A room that's closed up with closed up thoughts and closed up ideas can't be used. But when you allow that fresh air of God's Word and the fresh air of fellowship and the fresh air of your love with your brother and sister, you'll find that God can use that.
Amen.
Or maybe some of us are legitimately got a good legitimate reason not to share our thoughts with anybody else. It's because our thoughts are just so shallow. We'd be embarrassed. And we're not willing to be honest about how shallow our thought life really is. And we know that there's something on the inside of us that if we actually start opening up about what we're really thinking, it'll become apparent to ourselves and to others how shallow we really are.
Amen.
And we don't want that kind of uncovering in our thought life. So we close ourselves. So there's all different types of thought lives, but there's one thing that's certain this morning is that every one of you have a thought life. And it's the most private part of our lives. But I've got good news for you this morning. God wants to invade that too.
Amen.
Our God don't leave nothing alone.
Amen.
He doesn't leave your soul alone. He comes and He says, I want to save your soul. He doesn't leave your body alone. He says, I see that need right there. I want to come and I want to heal your body. But sometimes the things that we cater to the most, the things that we want to stay in our lives because they're most uncomfortable and the most complex to deal with, that's right there in our minds.
Right.
He says, that thought life there, I want to deal with that too. And so there's a reason. We look back at Ephesians where he talks about don't have these kind of conversations, don't have these kind of words about your brother or your sister. Don't speak any guile. Don't speak any bitterness. Don't put away all this malice. But there's a reason why you do the things that you do. And often it comes from our thought lives. Throughout the day, you might be doing the dishes and you might think, I've got to hurry up and I've got to do this dishes. I've got to hurry up and take care of these children. I've got to hurry up and please the boss. But there's a reason why you're feeling that you need to do the things that you do. There's some thought life that's projecting you. Is it because I want to please my husband that I'm doing my dishes? Or is it because I'm fearing what happens when my husband gets home and the dishes aren't done? Is it because I just want to please the boss and get a promotion? Or is there something in your thought life that says from a true heart, I just want to bring glory to God. I want to do what's best for my Lord. I want to be a Christian that people can say that man does a good job. And he's worthy of his hire.
Yes, Lord.
So what is motivating your thoughts this morning? What's the power that's coming behind? What's the fuel for your thoughts? You know, some people have just bitterness. Because of something that happened to them some time ago, they have all this bitterness and all this guile, and so-and-so did this to me, and I experienced these type of people, and I had this happen to me over here. And because of that, that little root of bitterness has followed you for your entire life. And you might try your best to keep it from popping up in your actions, but here it is in your thoughts, and everything you do is motivated by bitterness.
Right.
But the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you can't get away from it. You can't get away from your thought life, because whatever you think about, whatever you dwell upon, whatever you meditate on, oh, I so appreciate David. He said, Lord, my delight is to meditate on your word. Your precepts are my delight. Day and night I meditate on them.
Yeah.
Is that what the meditation of your heart is? Or when you meet somebody new, do you just say, oh, that looks like so-and-so, and so-and-so did this to me, and this brother is probably going to do the same thing, and I'm just going to stay away. See how the thought life influences our actions?
Good.
Or how about the worrier? Oh, Sister Worrywart. Her thought life is always consumed with what will happen if, and what will happen if my husband doesn't come home today, and what will happen if my children stop loving me today? Maybe they'll go to school and somebody will talk to them and they'll come home and they won't love me like they used to. And what will happen if my mother takes sick? And what will... And all that is centered around their life. And that's the focus I want to get on this morning. Whether it's your thought life is motivated by bitterness or by worry or by regrets of things that happened to you in the past or regrets of things that you did in the past or even a carnal passion. Your whole thought life is motivated by how to convince people to do this and convince people to do that so that it'll bring you some gain. See, all these things is a self-centered thought life. Or what about, how about this, brother or sister? When I come to church, I'm going to come to church a half an hour early. But why? What's the motives behind that? Because I want to impress so-and-so, because I don't want to be looked down upon, because I think people will think that I'm. What about our passion for the Lord?
That's right.
Or how about when I get to the gifts room, I'm going to consecrate myself for an hour in the gifts room today because I want the Lord to use me so that I speak out in the power of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues so that my gift could be used. Because I just want to be used of the Lord. But why do you want to be used of the Lord? What's the thought life behind that? Is it because I want to be used to the Lord so that everybody can see how spiritual I am? Or do you come first and say, we're going to get to it a little bit later, but I'm going to come here because I know brother so-and-so has an issue. I know sister so-and-so is struggling. And perhaps I know that God's placed a gift in my life. Perhaps God would use me. Perhaps if I get myself on his channel, he would use me and speak to them and heal their life and be a balm to them. What's the motivation in your heart? Is it because you want to glorify yourself? Or is it because there's something inside of you that's projecting outward in a divine love saying, I want something for my brother or sister. I want to bring glory to God. What's the fuel for your thoughts? You know, I think we ought to ask ourselves, what's the fuel for God's thoughts?
Yeah.
Yes.
And whatever his fuel, the fuel for his thoughts, whatever motivates him, that's what I want to motivate my thought life.
Amen.
By God's grace, I'd like to call this a divine thought life.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And what was God's thought life before the foundation of the world? He was thinking about you and me, brother. Said before the foundation of the world, he saw you and he knew you and he predestinated you according unto his plan. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What was motivating God's thoughts? Was he thinking about his kingdom? Was he thinking about his enemy Satan, how Satan did this way long ago and how he was going to finally get the upper manship on Satan? No, he wasn't worried about Satan. He wasn't worried about the one-third of angels that fell. He wasn't worried about his kingdom being separated or his kingdom being split in half. He wasn't worried about all that. He was worried about one thing. He was worried about you, and he was worried about me. He was thinking about you. It was his divine love projecting outward, not just to the people that are in this building this morning, but to the whole world. Some people say, oh no, that's just the world as he saw it. That's just the predestinated world. No, no, brother, I don't believe that, because the Bible says that he would that none would perish.
So what projects, what fuels, what compels God's thought life? His thoughts are based on love and love alone. There's not self-glorification. He doesn't have to have self-glorification. God doesn't have to exalt himself. He created a whole world that sings praises and glory and honor. When this world lines up with God's divine plan, lines up in love, it projects love back to God. He doesn't have to worry about exalting himself. Oh, hallelujah. I think about the song that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The Bible says that, oh my, the Bible says that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it also says that forgive me here, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Who do you think that joy was? Was that joy, well, if I get to this cross, then I can sit at the right hand of the throne of my Father and I can be done with this world. If I can get to the, if I can just get to the, past the cross, I can put all these people, I can put Judas and all the others behind me. If I can just get this behind me. No. For the joy that was set before him. And that joy was you, brother. That joy was me. Oh, hallelujah. It's true that when he was in the garden, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he spent an entire chapter in John 17, not praying that the cup would pass from him. But there in the garden, where were his thoughts at? For an entire chapter, his thoughts were on you. His thoughts were on me. He said, Father, let them be one as we are one. Let them be one, O Lord. His thoughts were about you. His thoughts, even when he was about to taste the death of the cross, his thoughts were projecting outward towards the other. Now let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad for God's thoughts. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or through vainglory. Nothing done through contention or pride. But in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem the other better than ourselves. Oh, I think we've got a long way to climb this morning, brother and sister. I know I do. When I read this, I know I'm not there yet. But God help me if I'm not at least progressing that way. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Right.
He's not saying just forsake all your things. We have to look on our own things.
Right.
We have to provide for our own family.
Yeah, right.
We have to take care of our home or else we'll have a negative testimony come upon us.
Right.
But he says, every man also look on the things of others.
Yeah.
And that should be our focus. He said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
right,
knowing that he was God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The scripture here says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let this same thought life be in you.
Yes.
Your thoughts. Let it not be just over here about this and about that and about the other and the promotion and the job and all this other things. But let these thoughts be focused thoughts. And where was that mind focused at? It was focused on obedience through love as he humbled himself and took on the very form of a servant. Not through strife and vainglory and one-upmanship and I'm going to show who's who and who's right here. No, no. He humbled himself even unto the death of the cross.
Amen.
What was Christ's love? It was a love that projected outward towards the individual.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that when love projects, divine grace takes over.
Yes, Lord.
Friends, I'm looking for a point in my life. I want to see more of God's divine grace.
Yes, Lord.
But I'm not going to do that by winning arguments.
No.
I'm not going to do that by being right.
No.
And I'm not going to do that by exalting myself and
getting more glory or putting notches on my belt for where I've preached and who's been saved underneath my ministry. And that's the wrong idea. That's the wrong direction. But if I can just project divine love, that's what I want to see. Because if I can do my part and allow divine love to project, then I believe that God's sovereign grace will take over. You know, there's a difference between divine love and brotherly kindness. Otherwise, it wouldn't be two stepping stones on the pyramid, would it?
That's right.
He wouldn't have said, add to your brotherly kindness love.
That's right.
You go back and you find out that brotherly kindness is a filial love, and love that he uses there, that's agape love.
That's right.
That brotherly kindness is a family love that we have towards a brother and sister. Sometimes I wonder if we're still struggling there, the way that people talk about one another, the way that people criticize one another and doubt one another. Brotherly kindness is at least a family love, but divine love is beyond that.
Right.
Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians.
Yes,
sir. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
How many is enjoying the word this morning?
Amen.
He says, charity suffereth long. Now, that doesn't mean that charity is just real patient and charity sits out in the car waiting for their wives to get done talking. But charity suffereth long. Long means that charity endures hardship and endures the wrong kind of treatment for a long time and bears with it and does not retract itself. That's what love does. And is kind. In the midst of all that hardship, in the midst of ill treatment, still it remains a kindness and a tender-hearted to the object of that love. Charity envieth not. It doesn't say, well, it doesn't get riled up and zealous and hot-tempered because somebody got something that I wanted, or I can't believe that brother's so happy, he shouldn't be happy knowing what kind of brother that is. No, no, no. Charity envieth not. Oh, here's one for us. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Now, we're thinking about our thought lives, friends. I want to look at you and say every one of you is perfect this morning. But only you can allow God's word to apply to your hearts this morning.
Right.
Only you know what's in your thought life.
Yeah. Right.
And only you know if these scriptures apply.
Exactly.
Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't exalt itself.
That's right.
I think about the husband at home, and here he is. He's exalting himself in the home. And wife, you do this. And wife, you do that. And you're the wife. You're the helpmate. You do this and you do that. Completely antithesis to Christ.
Exactly.
He says,
yes.
Christ made himself of no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant.
That's right.
He didn't even exalt himself. He wasn't worried about even being accepted. Sometimes we act in our thoughts, we act in a certain way, hoping that we could be accepted by someone. We go to school or go to work and we try to change our actions just to get accepted. And when we don't get accepted, though, our actions change completely and we blow up and we get angry. But God came to this world, God in flesh amongst us, Emmanuel. And it says that he was without form or comeliness, that no man should desire him. If there was anyone that wasn't accepted on the face of this earth, it was Christ. And he wasn't worried about it. Because he was too busy to be worried about little things like that.
Hallelujah.
He was too busy loving the woman at the well.
Yeah.
He was too busy loving the rich young ruler who he knew by foreknowledge would turn away from him and end up in hell crying for a little water from Lazarus.
That's right.
Yet he still projected his love out on that man.
Amen.
He was too busy preparing himself for the cross so that he could save everyone here this morning,
Amen.
To worry about whether he was accepted by the Pharisees.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Verse 5, seeks not her own. In other words, it's not worried about my kingdom and
right.
how can I make an extra buck and
right.
how can I make my life a little bit better. Oh, if this brother starts coming to church, then that's going to be inconvenient for me because he doesn't really have any money and I'm going to have to pick him up from his house every day. And he doesn't smell that good anyhow. It's going to be a real inconvenience. No, charity seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Well, I could take a whole sermon on some of these friends. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to work, he can speak just a couple words and speak more than a whole sermon could speak to you this morning. Let me tell you this. If the children in the home are more worried about anything else, the thing that they're most fearful of is making daddy or making mommy upset, if that's the worst thing that could happen in their life, maybe you need to think about this scripture here and see that charity is not easily provoked. Oh, if I come home, dad's going to be so furious with me. Mama's going to be so upset. I'm in some big trouble here. There should be a godly fear for headship and authority. But you should not be an object of fear within your own home. You ought to be an object of love. It should be, I don't want to disappoint daddy. I don't want to disappoint mommy. Not, I'm going to be in such big trouble. See the difference? But if we're so busy being easily provoked because every little thing that happens blows us up and makes us an emotional tumult because it's inconveniencing us and it's making our home, the home, our ideal home that we want to keep, it's making this home not what I want it to be. And this home isn't right and it's not straightened up the way I want it to be. And I'm preaching to myself now this morning. How do we respond? Are we easily provoked? Or can we say that I'm living out the scripture, that my name is found right here because I have so identified myself with the word that I'm lining up to it. Amen. That I can say Josiah is not easily provoked. Yeah, I wonder if you could put your own name here in the scripture everywhere charity is and say Josiah is not easily provoked. Josiah suffereth long. Josiah is kind.
Yeah. Amen.
It says it's not easily provoked and it thinketh no evil. Oh my. We're going to get to that one. I'm going to place a pause on that. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. We can say it like this. Everybody wants to have faith because it's portrayed as this great, big, burly. You know, Paul says, hope, faith, and charity, these three. And everybody wants to have faith because it's perceived as this great big burly thing with hair on its chest. But if we can say that faith has hair on its chest, then we can say that love has gray hairs on its head from enduring all things. And it has scars on its back from suffering all things. And Christ did that for us. They said, you look like you're a man that's almost 50 years old. Why? Because at 30 years old, he'd already aged. Why? Because he was loving you and me that hard.
Amen.
And he took stripes and scars on his back. And we'll see it one day for you and for me. And we're called to the same thing. But here it says that charity believeth all things, hopeth all things, and thinketh no evil. Oh my. It means that when you shake a brother's hand and he says he's going to do a certain thing, do you say, well, he's probably not going to do that. He's broken my trust before. He probably doesn't mean it that way. Or you take it the other way and says, I think he meant that. He meant this over here. I think he's... And you start just believing the worst about the brother. Believing the worst about the sister. And when it comes to hoping for their eternal destination, you say, well, they're probably not even going to make it. But here it says, charity hopeth for all things. And here, let me bring some distinguishment between brotherly kindness and agape love. Brotherly kindness should be inside the family of God. But God's agape love projects outward to the whole world. And it might be easy for you to project love outward to the stranger at Walmart and the greeter and say, my, what a nice looking little lady. If she just put a dress on, I'm sure she'd be a fine Christian. And it's easy to project your love outward to strangers in the checkout line. Just kind of project all these nice thoughts upon them. But let's go over here to the sinner friend that you know that's done you wrong. Let's go over here to the family member, the second cousin once removed that did you wrong.
Right.
Let's go over here to the aunt or the uncle that you know is just a scallywag. Charity hopeth all things.
Amen. Amen.
It means that we don't give up on our family members. It means that we don't give up on our boss. It means that we don't give up on the person that we know is a sinner, the person that we know is a scallywag, the person that we know is without hope and dead if God doesn't come and move in their life.
Right.
So, well, they did me wrong. I don't want to even be around them anymore. God didn't do that way for us. So where's your thought life at? When you think about your family members and when you think about the people that did you wrong, do you still have hope for them? Are you still hoping all things for them? Do you still pray for them when you think about them? Or have you already released them into the flames of hell and you say, they're going to burn in hell. That's terrible, but there's nothing I can do about it. There's a reason why he said, be tender-hearted and pray one for another. Because there's something about prayer that activates love in our lives.
Amen.
You know how, you know, I believe that's what God, when he was here in flesh, I believe that's what he spent most of his time praying about.
Right.
Is he was praying for you and praying for me. And there's something about hope that comes behind and makes a way for faith to step in. But faith by itself is nothing. Though I have faith to move mountains, though I have faith to work miracles, I am nothing without love.
Amen.
And love comes behind faith and activates it.
Yes, sir.
You take a mother's love. Everybody knows that a mother's prayer is probably the most powerful thing on the face of the earth for a child.
Right.
No other prayer would trump a mother's prayer, you would think. Why? Because when a mother gets down on her knees, she's got a little deposit of love in her heart for that child. Straight from the very heart of God. And that love activates a faith in her heart that when she calls out on God, she comes into his presence and she believes that he's hearing her cry as the heart of a mother speaking for her child. Now let that not just be for our children, friend. Let that be for the scallywag at work. Let that be for the brother or sister that did you wrong, for the aunt or the uncle or the cousin that you know is just a scallywag. But when you think about them, remember to love them.
Amen.
See, you say, well, how am I going to get love? Love is already sealed into your heart by the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said that that entire characteristic of the pyramid was sealed into you by the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost came down and capped the whole thing off. But we still have a choice as free moral agents to release faith. To release virtue, to release temperance and knowledge and patience, or we can hold it back and cover our light underneath a bushel. But God did not give you that this morning to cover it underneath a bushel. God wants to invade your thought life this morning. God wants you to surrender up your thought life to him. And say, Lord, this morning I don't want to have my own thought life, but I want to think God's thoughts after him. I want to have a divine thought life. I want to have a thought life that's unctioned by the Holy Spirit, unctioned by God himself, because the scripture says that God is love. And if I have a divine thought life, I'm going to have a life in my thoughts, in this gray matter in between my ears, that's unctioned by love and love alone. That I'm not giving up on the other, no matter whatever happened to me, no matter what backgrounds I have, I'm going to keep my thought life based in love.
Amen.
For my family, for my enemy,
yeah.
Person who mistreated me.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that pray for your enemies.
Right.
And for those who despitefully use you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a high calling. We can only do it, friends, by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Why don't you stand with me then? As the musicians would come. Oh, it's a simple thought this morning. Very, very small. But there's something about simple things. That if you allow them to go down into your life, it's like that little mustard seed that Christ talked about. If you can have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
Yeah.
And come to find out that mustard seed, when it's planted in the right soil, in the right condition, and watered and placed in the right atmosphere, that mustard seed becomes a great tree and brings fruit and makes shade for the animals to come underneath and makes a nest for birds, all from a tiny little thing.
Hallelujah.
I remember when I first got married, share this with you. It seemed like the scripture the Lord was really working with me was, you know, look at the lily in the field. It does not toil, nor does it spin. And yet I say unto you that all of Solomon's glory, he was not arrayed like one of these lilies.
Right.
He says, don't fear tomorrow. Your Father, which is heaven, knows what you have need of, and he'll provide it. Just a simple little thought, but when I got married, it seemed like the whole world was falling in. Bills I didn't know about, paying for births, and paying for this, and that, and the other. And life was changing. But God built that into my life.
Amen.
And all I'm sharing with you this morning is where God's got me right now. God's building this into my life.
Yes.
I say, Lord, build on. Because
yes.
I know that if this love can be planted down in me,
yes,
that at the end of the road is a sovereign grace that can take over. A sovereign grace for my family. A sovereign grace for the people at work. A sovereign grace to people whose names I don't even know yet.
Amen.
But I want that love to take over.
Yes, Lord.
I want my thought life to be ordered by love alone. Not by malice or hurt or past experiences.
Amen.
Is that your desire this morning?
Yes.
Let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, my heart's broken still, Lord. Father, even the other night, you know how I sat with my wife and we had to share our thoughts, Lord, and realize that our thoughts hadn't been motivated by love towards someone else, that we weren't thinking the best thing about someone else, Lord. And then come to find out the next day that what we were thinking about was entirely wrong, and they hadn't meant us any ill harm at all. Lord, I feel right now that I'm in a transition point in my life, Lord. There's this little seed that you're holding out to the ground of my heart. And I know that if I receive it right, maybe 5 or 10 years down the road, maybe not that long, I don't know, but I can look back and I can say, I'm so glad I planted that seed in my life. Look at the life that's come from it. Look at the grace that's been stretched over my life and the life of my loved ones. Because I chose to change my thinking. Because I chose to think God's thoughts after Him and reign in my thoughts, let divine love project. Lord, I think about our property back home and how we're talking about planting trees and things. And Lord, this seems like such a small thing to do, just a little knee-high whippersnapper of a tree. But let it have 20 years. Lord, I know that tree will provide shade for my family. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that says, I'm underneath conviction this morning. This is something I should have changed a long time ago. I remember the old Chinese proverb that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time to plant a tree is right now. Lord, I believe that applies to your word this morning. Lord, if there's anyone that could say, my thought life hasn't been motivated by love projected outward, but I've allowed myself, somewhere along the road, I've allowed myself to get a little selfish, a little me-centered, a little my family-centered, a little my group-centered. And Lord, my vision hasn't been as big as the vision of a God whose thoughts I want to project outward and think after. Lord, your vision was for the whole world. You said that for the whole world you love them, Lord. Lord, I could say this morning that my love isn't that big yet. But Lord, I pray that it would become that big. Let my life so shine this morning till, Lord, there be no doubt that we're Christians, Lord. Let it not be covered up with any malice, Lord, or Lord, any greed or selfishness. Let the lamp be just all cleaned out, Lord, and let us shine out to the world. Grant it, Lord, I pray. And then, Lord, I think every heart here this morning would be that not just our love to be consumed with thoughts about the other, Lord, but Lord, to project that divine love back to you.
Yes, Lord.
Grant it, Lord, I pray.
In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
I just want to give the Lord, the Holy Spirit, a little time to work this morning. If you would just sing something soft, certainly welcome you to the altar.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your love to us. There's something about God's love. It's not just that we need to project it outward to the other. But God wants that love to be projected back to Him. He said, whatsoever you do unto the least of these little ones, you do unto me. And that's one way that we can love God. But sometimes we also get so caught up with the do's and the don'ts that we forget about loving God. We just think about trying to keep His commandments, but we start losing the trees in the forest and forgetting why we're keeping the commandments. We forget about why we're doing the dishes, why we're bringing home a paycheck for our spouse. It ought to be motivated by love. And we ought to be keeping our commandments to the Lord through love. It shouldn't be how short can I bring this skirt? But there ought to be a love in our hearts. When we think about love, it's no longer about how much can I get away with, but it's about how much can I do for the Lord. It's not about how much I can get away with on the internet, what's right and appropriate and what's not. But instead of doing all these other things, what can I do with my time to further this kingdom that I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ on? Is that your desire this morning, friend? The Bible says to be tender-hearted and forgive one another. I wonder if you've got someone you need to forgive this morning. Let your divine love project out this morning and say, Lord, I don't know how to forgive them. That's all right. He wants to have an honest conversation with you. He wants an open heart from you this morning. Lord, I don't know how to forgive them, Lord. But you help me, Lord. Like that man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He was honest with the Lord. Why don't you just be honest with the Lord this morning? Why don't you just let Him inside your heart and look around a little bit and say, Lord, this little piece of furniture has been sitting here for a long time. I don't know how to get rid of it, Lord. It's been collecting dust and I shouldn't have it in my heart anymore, but I just don't know how to get rid of it. But Lord, in love this morning, I'm coming to you, Lord. And I want you to change it. Seems like every time I get to a certain place and I come across this wall, and I don't know how to go any further. Lord, I'm admitting to you my failure this morning. Would you come and help me, Lord? Lord, I've allowed my thought life to get too negative all the time, thinking negative thoughts. I thought it was just because of my personality. I thought it was just that was the way I was. I'm a depressed kind of person. I'm on medicine for this. I'm this, that, or the other. The doctor told me this. My hormones are imbalanced. But Lord, this morning I realized that if your love would just project into my heart, I can be free of all these negative thoughts. Stop thinking about myself. Stop thinking about my problems. Stop thinking about what people did to me. Start thinking about on Calvary. Start lifting my eyes towards Jesus Christ. For the joy that was placed before Him, He endured the cross. And for the joy that's placed before me this morning, I'm going to be a long-suffering one. I'm going to be one that hopeth and believeth in all things. For the joy that's placed before me. What is that joy? That joy is eternal life with my Lord and with whoever in this life I can get to come along with me. And I don't care who they are. They might be the worst scallywag amongst us. But if I can get them to Jesus Christ, I know that He'll change them. And there's still hope for them as long as they're living in this life. Oh, I believe that with all my heart. Pastor, will you come? God bless you, saints. I believe you're not far from the kingdom this morning.
Holy Spirit,
why don't you just press through a little bit?
Jesus,
come into the presence of God this morning. Get down on your knees if you need to. Open up your heart to God. Let a change take place. Don't leave from here the same.
Hallelujah.
Make sure that seed is planted just right this morning.
Yes.
It's got all the fertilizer it needs to take a grip in your heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe the Lord will do the work.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As the Holy Spirit broods over us. Thank you, Lord. There ain't a person here who can't identify this was a necessary service for us today. An invitation's been given, brother, sister. And I'm not meaning by Brother Josiah, the Holy Spirit that's here with us is telling each one of us to stop being wrong about these things. His tender mercies are new every morning. We believe in prayer as well. And my brother does also. If there's anyone that has a need and you think, well, I just like to have ministers pray with me with this. It's just helped my faith. See, we seek the Lord. He said, if you seek Him with your whole heart, you'll find Him. Is there any that have that need? I don't believe in waiting all day, brother, sister. I believe the Holy Spirit moves on you to do something. You ought to do it now. We can sit and dwell and think, well, as the brother said, we should have done it 20 years ago. Well, that's gone. But you can do it now. Hallelujah. You can pray now. You can confess it now with your lips, out of your heart. That, Lord, I believe in the working of the Holy Spirit that's here upon me. Hallelujah. I believe you've given me this word this afternoon to comb out my heart. Comb out my mind, comb out my words, Father. And I'm not leaving the same way. Actually, you can't leave the same way. You're going to leave better or worse. If you accept His word, you'll leave here better. That's right. He'll take all those things from you. Let's just surrender. That's why we raise our hands. We're surrendering it. Lord, we give over to you. Hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. I thank Him for His Spirit being here. Brother, sister, that's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's nothing beyond that. It's Him. He's the one, and He's here with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship Him with all your heart. Want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to to live, provide it, Father, the way glory that God wants me to give Him praise. I want to give until there's just every heart, Father, more to give. I want to together with you. Oh, for I could never, ever outlove. We lift our hearts, Lord, it's our prayer. We believe you put it in us, Father. Respond, Lord, yes. Want to live by your grace, Lord, every heart, the way. Destroy the works of the enemy that He wants me. Praise the living God. I want to till there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. Yeah,
Yes, Father, I could never outlove the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, prepare me to be a
playing it dead.
Thank you, Jesus.
Understand God's grace. Father, as we lay hands on my sister, I said, if we lay hands on the sick, they recover and redeem this body, heal this hand. Supernaturally, Lord, body says it can't happen, but you're the maker of this body. Grant it, Lord, we pray as we bind this. So two, three of you gather together, you be in the midst. We agree in faith. Grant it, Lord, to my sister as we believe it now. Confess it in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Believe with all your heart, sister. You're gone in no time. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. Hallelujah. We've done praying. We've done sought the Lord. It's time for us here to believe what we've prayed. Are you still going to hope that those things leave, those bitternesses get out of your heart, or have you already received it right here? Lord, thank you. Thank you for exposing and taking it out of me, Father. Thank you, Lord, for filling my heart with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For performing the supernatural in my soul, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe it. Don't take those things back. Don't let Satan hand it back to you. Say, he's been exposed. Let him walk in dry places. You be the Christian God's called you. Hallelujah. Let's give him thanks. Here as we sing this, we'll be dismissed. Let's how many appreciates Brother Josiah coming today. God bless you, my brother and his family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for your servant. God ever bless him, we pray. Hallelujah. We'll sing that as we're dismissing. God bless you, saints. Oh, thank you, Lord.
You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank
blessed be the Lord,
Lord, for making me whole.
Thank you, Lord God.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving to salvation so rich.
Yes, Lord, we go in thanksgiving, Father.
Oh, thank
you, blessed Jesus.